Evening. Joy to be with brethren. I almost said Austinville. It's Decatur. It's good that you have a name change. I got my cell phone out instead of my clicker. I've got it in my pocket somewhere. Yeah, let me see if it works now. Yes, it's working. I even moved it to get it out. Brother Doyle Whitlow and Ray Robinson did serve on our board of directors, and now John has took one of them's place. I don't know which one, but we appreciate John and all that he does now for global missions and representing us to you. And we thank you big. I didn't look to see how long you've been supporting global missions, but I know it's been for a long, long time. And you have partnered with us, and we thank you for that. And if anyone has any questions about the work whatsoever, you feel free to come to me after we're dismissed. My wife was unable to come and be with us. She's been sick. She worshiped at Fulton this morning. We did together, and that's the first time she's worshiped in almost 3 weeks. And Brother Michael, where's Michael? He's sitting at the back. He's winning. Did everyone get one of the newsletters? Raise your hand if you didn't get a newsletter, and I'll have Michael bring you one, because that's part of coming and reporting to you. See any hands raised, Michael? Be sure and give them one. We got one over here, too, right on this side. Keep your hand up till he gets you the letter, please. I must get started and move on. Young man, what's the title of her invitation song?
It is Washed in the Blood.
Are you washed in the blood? Boy, that's a good one, isn't it? Let me introduce to you the home office. Brother Steve Shapley, over on the left, preaches for the Beans Ferry congregation about a mile below our office building. And we're thankful that his congregation allows him to work part-time in the ministry there of global missions. Sister Phyllis Bush, she worships with the Saucer Creek congregation, and she retired from the junior college, and the Lord knew we needed that young lady, and she came, and she's been with us now several years. Excellent, excellent secretary, and she takes care of the funds that come through the mail and so forth. Excellent co-worker. Miss Linda. And then over on the extreme right is Brother Don Robertson. Donald, we've known since he was about 14 years of age. In 1984, my wife and I moved to Ashland, Mississippi, where we were in local work for about 7 years. Donald had just obeyed the gospel about 2 months prior to us moving to Ashland. We got to see Donald grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And he grew and grew, and he went off to Magnolia Bible College for about 4 years, and he preaches and is a very good gospel preacher. Since we had known him and his heart was in evangelism and mission work, we invited him to come and work, and he's fitting right in. And Lord willing, the end of this fiscal year, June 30th, I'm going to back off and let him have the reins, so to speak, of global missions. And I'll still be working with him, reporting to churches and things of that nature. So maybe I'll see you again, but if not, Donald will be coming and reporting to you. Here's our case statement for doing the work at Global Missions. We exist for the purpose of recruiting, educating, and encouraging communicators of the gospel, and we stress in their language, culture, and country. I could spend the rest of my time and more in talking about the need to train them in their own country, their own language, and their own culture. Time won't permit for that. I think I've already mentioned some things before to most here. All schools established by 21st Century Global Missions offers only one diploma, and that's a Bible diploma. This curriculum does include 2 English classes, 2 computer classes, and an economics class. Now, brethren, those secular classes are there for a purpose. And we believe it fits and has a good purpose. Notice the bottom paragraph, we do not use any funds that we collect for global missions to pay students to come to school to learn to preach the gospel. If you pay a man to come to school to learn to preach, you'll never know why he's there until he graduates, and then the story is told. Now, you may be supporting a work and paying young men to come to school. I don't know. But we don't believe that's the best way to train a preacher to preach the gospel. You see, in that bottom paragraph, you see we don't pay them, but yet they don't pay for their training. There's your importance. Because each student comes wanting to preach the gospel, we try to train him when his schedule of making a living for his family will permit him to be trained. Sometimes that's at night, sometimes it's on Saturday, and sometimes it's even on days through the week. We let the director of each school make that decision of when to train those preachers and teachers. And they don't pay a penny. We give them a full scholarship. We do that through your support of helping us train preachers and teachers for the gospel of Christ. We presently have 22 schools in 13 foreign countries. The Lord willing, we'll be having 2 graduations. I'll leave you materials showing that, and we'll see it on the screen a little later. That's in the latter part of February and early March. And we're trying to go and visit the country of Uganda or either Ivory Coast to start and establish another school. Those 22 schools in 13 foreign countries. I'm going to leave you a map showing that. It's what I've got on the screen, and I'll leave that with the elders. Now, these are the graduations that took place in 2022. I almost said, boy, they'd take us back, wouldn't it, 1922. Sierra Leone was the first one. It was in Freetown, Bo, and Kono. We have 3 schools there. And each one of those schools had a graduation last year. Graduation in Freetown, Sierra Leone. Brother Lance Foster, the preacher for the Iuka Church, he and I traveled together to Newark, and then we split up. He went into the country of Sierra Leone, and I went into the country of Liberia. And the graduations there in Sierra Leone, he worked those. There's the number of graduates. Lance was a little late. He's not going to be on these pictures. We graduated 19 students from Sierra Leone, the school in Freetown. They established while they were in training. Now, this isn't counting after they graduated. While they were in training, remember we didn't pay them to come to school? You're going to see the fruits of not paying people to come to school to be trained to preach. They were already establishing churches before they graduated. These 19 graduates established 29 churches while they were in training. They baptized 165 souls in the last 12 months of their training. They had restorations of 117 souls in the last 12 months of their training while they were being trained. Now the graduation in Bo, Sierra Leone. Now you should see Lance in this one because he was personally in the graduation. This was February the 13th. 39 students graduated. You notice there we have some ladies. I don't see any of them there, but yes, I see one over on the left. We say we're training preachers and teachers. Now, I see a lot of small children, these young fellows that was up front. Would the person who taught them this morning raise your hand? Those who taught them 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years of age. Don't be timid. I got a young lady right here. You made my day, sister. We need young ladies to be trained to be the best Bible class teachers they can be. If my wife was here, she wouldn't like for me to say what I'm about to say. As I look out in this congregation, most of us are on our way out. She has the most important class in this church building. Train them well, sister. And we need young ladies in other countries to be trained to be the best Bible class teacher of our children. Teach ladies' classes. Keep their God-given role among the churches that's established. We graduated 39 preachers and teachers. There's Brother Lance. And one of the graduates, he's presenting the diploma. There again, and he's speaking at the graduation. 39 graduates. They established 85 churches while they were in training. Whether that be a 2-year or 4-year program, we have an AA and a BA program. They had 337 baptisms in the last 12 months of their training before graduating. 649 restorations and prayer requests in the last 12 months. Graduation in Kono, Sierra Leone. 24 graduated February the 20th. They marched down Main Street with a banner there concerning their graduation. That's a cultural thing for them in those countries. There's Lance presenting one, his diploma. 24 graduated, and this, by the way, in Kono was our first graduation. 26 congregations established in the last 12 months of their training. During their training. 127 baptisms in the last 12 months of their training, and 122 restorations and prayer requests. Brethren, we've got preachers that we've trained that preach for 3 or 4, maybe 5 churches on a given Lord's Day. Some start early and some go late. Chiapas, Mexico, San Cristobal, and Tapachula. The brother there, he's from Main Street Church in Springfield, Tennessee. Graduation in Tapachula, August the 13th, 6 students graduated. There's the graduation, those attending. 6 graduates, they established 9 churches while they were in training. 8 were baptized in the last 12 months and 9 restorations and prayer request. Now the graduation in San Cristobal, Mexico, August the 20th, 5 students graduated. Looks like 3 young ladies and 2 young men. There's the class that's graduating. And there's the brother doing the speaking with a translator. We had 5 to graduate, August the 20th, 10 churches established while they were in training. 233 were baptized in the last 12 months, and 25 restorations and prayer requests. In Nigeria, we have 2 schools, one in Ikot Usin, and one in, not Obudu. The name, the city slips my mind, but we had one in Ikot Usin. Oh, I should be able to think of it. It just slipped my mind. Graduation in Ikot, we had 12 to graduate August the 20th. There's the graduates. They decked the director of the school and one of their teachers out pretty good, I'd say, there in his cotton gown. 12 graduates, 9 churches established, 73 souls baptized into Christ in the last 12 months, and 16 restorations and prayer requests. Now the graduation in Indiri, Nicaragua. 13 students graduated December the 3rd. Let me mention that the Central Church in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, the one which the tornado completely demolished their building back around 2011 or 12, They built back, they totally fund the schools in Nicaragua, two of them. There's the senior graduation. 13 graduated, 23 churches established while they were in training. 55 souls baptized in the last 12 months of their training, and 27 restorations and prayer requests. Now we go to Sandino. 18 graduated December the 10th of last year. There's another scene. That's Joel Bastamini, who directs the school there. He was trained at Harding University in Harding, Arkansas. And Joel is a good gospel preacher. And he does an excellent, excellent work. My hat's off to him for not wanting to stay here in the States, but wanted to go back to where his people could hear the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Ciudad Sandino, we had 19 students to graduate, 37 churches established, 96 baptisms in the last 12 months, and 52 restorations and prayer requests. Ojanaja, Honduras. We had December the 10th, we had 8 to graduate. 4 gospel preachers from different congregations graduated. 3 of them also led singing in those churches. And those are the 4 men who graduated. 8 graduated, 2 congregations established while they were in training. 15 had been baptized in the last 12 months. And 4 restorations and prayer requests. Now, I'm not going to take totals. And take each one and give you the totals. Again, we just looked at those. But for the last 8 years, we come down and look at all those that graduated. Totals for 2022. We graduated 159 preachers and teachers last year, 231 congregations established while they were in training. They baptized 1,115 souls into Christ and had 1,019 souls to be restored to their first love. Now we go back 8 years and we give the totals. I'm not going to take year by year and give you the totals. I'm looking at the totals for the last 8 years concerning the graduations that we've had in the schools. We've graduated 804 preachers and teachers. Remember, brethren, we didn't pay these students while they were in school. To my knowledge, I thank God I can stand here and tell you tonight, to my knowledge, not a one of them is on American money. We believe that's keeping the gospel in its culture. 804 graduated. Congregations established while they were in training, 1,148. 7,178 baptisms in the last 12 months of their training. 4,671 restorations and prayer requests in that same time. Here's the graduations for 23 that we know of now. We have some that has not reported to us, but these have reported and given us a number, all of them except I caught using Nigeria. In Gorbli, Liberia, we'll graduate supposedly 22 graduates February the 25th of next month. Lofa County, Liberia, we'll have 29 graduates March the 5th. Bermenda, Cameroon, 7 graduated. 7 will graduate sometime in April. Obudu, Nigeria, 28 will graduate August the 15th. We don't have the number for ICOT using. San Cristobal, Mexico, 3 will graduate in August. In Georgetown, Guyana, 11 will graduate July the 29th, Lord willing. In Lima and Trujillo, Peru, Lima, 8 will graduate December the 7th. And Trujillo will graduate 11 students December the 9th. That's of this year, 2023. I'm going to leave this with the elders and missions committee, whoever I need to. Let me share a story with you. You heard me mention Kono. Momo is our director of the school in Kono, Sierra Leone, where Lance, one of the congregations, and our first graduation for someone from the States to attend last year. Momo and his wife were not Christians when they moved from Kono. This was back around 2015. And they moved to Freetown, where we had a school. That was our first school established. Someone where they found work, they both found work together at a factory. And there was a supervisor who was a Christian who worshiped at the congregation where we had the school located. Are you with me? He began to be encouraged to come to services. They began to attend. And it wasn't long until Momo and his wife responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're Christians. They're beginning to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And they begin to grow and they begin to see the need to be trained and helped to where they could go back. Their hearts was back in Kono. They wanted to go back and share the good news of Christ with their families. And they heard that we had a school. And they began to take classes. They graduated in the fall of 2019. Are you listening? It was October, early November of 19. And they moved back after graduation to their hometown of Kono. They began to preach the gospel. Hard for me to tell this, brethren, because I've never met the brother that they converted that built a building for them. I travel there in March, early March of 2020. You remember he graduated. He and his wife graduated when? In the fall of 19. By March 2020, I've heard of the story there, and I'm going to visit in view of starting a school there. When I arrived, I met Momo and his wife. And on Sunday morning, there was about 60 to 65 souls that came together to worship God. They were in a nice little building, concrete slab. The building would be the size of this section right here, probably, maybe a little larger. It'd reach back from the back of the pulpit to the back. He had converted a doctor in that city of Kona. And that doctor had bought the cement and poured, had the slab poured. He bought the concrete blocks to build the wall, exterior walls. They just had the exterior walls. He had bought the metal and the wood to put the framing and the metal roof on. No windows, no doors. And he passed away. Now he had converted that doctor. And out of his love for Christ and what Jesus had done for him, he built that building. He had already passed on to his reward. I didn't get to meet him, but I hope and pray and I believe I will meet him in eternity. Before I arrived, Momo had already started the school. Boy, he was burning with zeal, wasn't he? He'd already started training about 15 men to preach the gospel. It's very easy to start a school. We got some other preachers to work with him. And that was our first graduation that Lance went over and helped and worked with the men last year. I forget the number. It seemed like it was 19 graduated. I thought I'd share that with you because that's, I believe he's a picture of the type of encouragement for those who help in supporting the schools. I hope tonight in reporting to you, you continue to see the need to support because you are a part of Momo and his wife and what they're doing for the Lord. Without you supporting a scholarship for our students, he could not have been trained. And we thank you for that. In the report, if you have any questions whatsoever, it's good to be questioned about the work. It really is. Sometimes we pick up ideas from that. If I could leave you a thought tonight, it would be for you to take James chapter 2 and Galatians chapter 3 and Romans chapter 4 and you study the life of Abraham. He's our father of faith. I marked in my Bible, I want to just read a few chapters, not chapters, but verses, and then the invitation is yours. You'll hear your response of faith in these verses. In beginning in Galatians chapter 3, we begin in verse 8. You know, those in the Old Testament was living by promise. We have a better covenant because it's given by eyewitness testimony. Those in the Old Testament were looking toward the cross. Today we look back to the cross. We have the same gospel that Abraham heard in Galatians 3:8. Listen to it. And the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, were the good news. Foreseeing that God would justify, that means as if they had never sinned, justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations, that's Gentiles, shall be saved. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. I'm reading from a New King James translation. In verse 10, for as many of the works of the law, the article in the Greek is dropped there. He's talking about the principle of law. See, Abraham never did live under the law of Moses. It came 430 years after his death or his life. Listen carefully. Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law. There's the law of Moses. To do them. You know, Paul in James agrees. In James 2:10, he pictures a man who's under law. He has to be a perfect person. Only one man ever lived that kind of life. And aren't we thankful he's our Savior? Galatians 4:4, Jesus was born under the law. Why was he born? To redeem them that were under the curse of the law. He kept it perfect. 2 Corinthians 5:21, him who knew no sin, God made him to be sin on our behalf. Listen carefully. Yes, yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. speaking of the law of Moses there, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant. Yet, if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. You see, that seed promise was not the nation of Israel. That's the vehicle, figuratively speaking, that's going to bring the Christ into the world. God, in speaking to Abraham, was specific about the Christ coming into the world. Verse 17, and this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise or gospel of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added. Underline that word, added. And ask yourself the question, what was it added to? It was added to the gospel Abraham heard. When was it added? 430 years after it was made to Abraham. I haven't found where I got to. Verse 18, for as many as of the works of law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. You see, law demands a perfect life, if that's how you're justified. Verse 11, but that no one is justified . Verse 12, yea, the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Now let me come down to where I was. I begin in verse 8. We're going to come down now to verse 18. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because, what was it added to? The gospel. Because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise hath been made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scriptures has confirmed or confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Christ might be given to them who believe. But before faith came, we were under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ. It was a schoolmaster, one translation says, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you're all sons of God. Listen carefully. If you're here and not a Christian, here's how you become a Christian. For we're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you're Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And if you're Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. We connect to Abraham as well as Christ because he's our father of faith. If you're here tonight and not a Christian, put your faith and trust in the atoning death of Jesus who shed innocent blood. Isn't that good news? That someone took her place. Someone hung and died on a cross who had been born under the law, but he never did sin. Paul in the Roman letter says and reminds us that in Romans chapter 3, that is how God can be just and the justifier of one who comes to him through Jesus Christ. You see, God left his son for a purpose on the cross. You remember one of the sayings of Jesus, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When you look into the mirror of men to shave or comb your hair or ladies to brush your hair, that's why he left his son, to lay on him our sins and our guilt that we might get to go free. Now there's a price that we take upon Jesus and we have a relationship to him to where I'm willing to suffer because he suffered for me. That's the love of Christ that constrains our life. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us that we will thus judge. One died for all, therefore we were all dead, and he died for all that we should no longer live unto ourselves. In verse 17, he says, if any man there's man or woman, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have become new. Tonight, more than likely, someone in this audience needs to respond to Christ who loved him and died for him. We sing a song of encouragement. Come forward, brother.
Have you been to Jesus?